When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Greg Hill Show. No Greg, no Curtis, but we've got Shime and Wiggy and the woman, and we still have one more lead to get to. Jermaine Wiggins, good morning.
All right, good morning. So first off, before I get into this lead, this goes out to a friend of the show, Pat. He's a Quincy cop. He comes to a lot of the road shows, and he kind of hit me up last night, and I just wanted to put this message out there to Paul Murphy. He's a retired, he was a retired Quincy police officer, unfortunately passed away from cancer. And Paul and Pat were good friends, and so they're have the funeral wake this weekend. So he's only 51 years old, so it's, you know, cancer's a bitch, you know. It affects all of us in some way, you know. Got my mother, and so just my condolences to Paul's family and Pat and his family as well as everybody that knew Paul Murphy. So that's just a little bit of what I wanted to say about that. You know, God bless and enjoy life every day,
yes.
People, because you never know, you know, when your time. So enjoy it, enjoy it, enjoy it. I am excited. With that being said, I am excited about this starting tonight, but especially this weekend with the college football playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We talked to Billy O yesterday, and I brought up the way the FCS does it, which I think is so good. The 24-team playoff system. You can maybe use some of the bowls as, you know, playoff locations. But I want to see. I think tonight's rating and this weekend's rating for these college football playoffs, I think it's going to be massive. And hopefully this is something that might lead to college football saying, you know what, maybe we should expand the field a little bit. And this could be something. Because last night, again, it was, oh, my God, who the hell was playing last night?
The Chargers and Broncos.
No, Sam Houston.
Oh. I was like, you're trying to say that the NFL game wasn't good? So you wanted to...
Sam Houston was playing, I forget who the hell that they were playing, maybe Georgia Southern, I can't remember. But like we have these bowl games that no one watches, some of the kids opt out of. So I'm so excited for this first 12-team playoff, because I know what the 4-team playoff did, and I think the excitement, it just brings in more fans, more fan bases. So hopefully... College football will see how big this is and say, you know what, maybe we should expand the field. Because
think tomorrow's going to be impacted, though, when you've got college games up against a Chiefs game.
Well, I mean, it's going to be impacted, but I think that, you know, that's just a scheduling thing that can easily be fixed. But I'm looking at it as more of like, This is a great time for you to really, really do something big in college football, because they're like, it wouldn't be cool if Alabama was in there, Miami was in there, rather than, you know, we're going to see them playing bowl games. And Miami, is Cam Ward even going to play in a bowl game? If I was him, I wouldn't play. Or even a team like Colorado. We've been talking a lot about Travis Hunter. So hopefully the ratings are so good that college football says, all right, we need to capitalize off this and we need to take the page out of the FCS playbook and add 24 teams. And I think, you know, it would be just an unbelievable for college football, for me as a college football fan and all the other college football fans out there.
And Ken Laird sent a message during the break to tell everybody that the college football playoffs can be heard right here on WEEI. Indiana Notre Dame coverage starts tonight at 7:30 after Travis Thomas. So very excited for that. That is Curtis's lock game, if you've been following along with all of Curtis's picks when it comes to college football. He is going with Notre Dame tonight. Right. So that's his lock for the weekend.
And if Notre Dame wins, they'll play my Bulldogs, who are going to be without Carson Beck through the playoffs. The Stockton kid is the kid that's going to have to play.
Gunnar Stockton, yeah. Right?
Who's the favorite right now to make it all the way to win?
I don't know.
Your mind.
I will check.
I would say that I bet a lot of people will probably say Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Oregon and Texas are tied as the betting favorites at plus 360.
All right. And Oregon's quarterback, the kid Dylan Gabriel, he's pretty good.
All right. Well, that's everybody's leads. Thank you so much. Let's get to Bill in Marion. He has an inductee for PTA, which we don't have one for the news this morning. So let me see if I can get him. Here we go. Bill, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Big fan of the show. Yes, I do have a local nominee for the PTA.
That's never good.
That is never good.
No. Now, it was back in 2022. It was actually my neighbor from Old Colony Regional in Rochester. I was accused of groping and raping students. Yes. There was over 7 girls that came forward after the first girl came forward.
Did he get indicted? Is he in jail?
No, charges have been brought. They're going through the court process right now.
I am. Well, all right. I guess we'll see.
Thanks, Bill.
Guess we'll see how it plays out in the justice system.
There was also like a wild story going out of Newton Country Day School where a teacher got fired. He had written a book and used students' full names in the book. And,
really?
Like, his feelings about them, like, hating some of these students. Jesus. And
how dumb can you be
sexualizing some of the students? Wow. It was, like, it's insane.
Nuts.
Yeah, because I have a few friends that went to school there, and it was everywhere. Really, really crazy. All right, well, we've got Jelani Tavai coming up right after the break. It is a Patriots Friday. We'll talk about him and his thoughts as we head into the weekend against the Bills. And I quoted you yesterday, Shime, and I just want to make sure that I got it right because Curtis brought up, you know, does anybody think that this could even be a close game? And I said, I thought you said, am I crazy for thinking that this could end up being a close game?
Yeah, I think I said that on Monday. And what am I crazy to think that the Patriots could keep this close and more so like backdoor cover, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't expect them to ever really be threatening to win the game. But at the end of the day, is there any way that they lose by 5 or 6 points? Then you look at it, you know, after the season's over, go, oh, that game was closer than I thought it would be.
Especially if, and I brought this up yesterday, if they end up taking out Josh Allen near the end of the game because they're up by so much, could Drake May lead a late game comeback? I mean, not seal the deal, but
the Patriots,
could he make it close?
Especially because this offense seems to play better when they're, you know, down 21 points and they're like, all right, let's just let it fly. And Drake just kind of goes out and does his thing and they seem to be better when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be shocked if the Patriots backdoor cover and make the score look a lot better than it is.
I highly doubt that happens because I was listening to Jones and Keefe yesterday, and I think it was Keefe who brought this up, and I didn't realize it. He said this season, the Buffalo Bills have only scored less than 30 points in 3 games.
Mm. That is correct.
And the Patriots,
I think they've done it in 4 straight.
Right. And the Patriots haven't scored 30 points since Zappe was the quarterback back in 2022.
Damn.
So when you look at that, you could say there's a good chance that the Bills score 30 plus.
The last time the Bills scored less than 30 was weeks ago against the Jets. This was back, they beat the Jets 23-20 in week 7.
Well, the Jets stink though, so they play down to their opponent, you could say?
I mean, that was, 8 weeks ago now, but maybe.
So think about this. if that we know the Bills are probably going to score more than 30 because your defense isn't that good. You haven't scored 30 since Zappe in 2022. And I don't even think you scored 28 all year long.
Right.
Forget about 30. So
no, I think the most the Patriots have scored all year is 25, and that was against the Colts.
Right.
And the Bills have such an easy road to end it. It's
right.
Us, the Jets, and then the Patriots again.
That's why I don't think Kansas City's going to sit Mahomes. So I don't know. It's going to be tough for the Patriots are going to have to basically play damn near perfect football, both sides of the football, special teams included. If not, it's going to be an absolute, Buffalo is going to be a bloodbath.
They get a big play from special teams, though, and it immediately becomes a whole new ballgame.
But you're going to have, as the Patriots, almost have to play perfect in all three phases. And then Buffalo is going to have one of those games where you go, ooh, Josh Allen looks bad, where he's just throwing interceptions,
right.
And the defense looks bad. That's the only way I think you can even keep this game close.
Look, my thought is I was at Gillette Stadium when Mac Jones beat the Bills, what was that, last year? 28-25 mm-hmm. or whatever the score was.
Wasn't that the swirling winds when Bill came on and said, the weather was crazy?
It might have been, mm-hmm. but it was, I watched Mac Jones literally beat the Buffalo Bills at the end of the game at Gillette Stadium, and it was one of the more shocking things I've seen in my life. So if that can happen, I think the Patriots could cover a 14-point spread.
I think you're thinking about...
I'm thinking about when they were in Buffalo.
Yeah,
you're thinking about the win
game.
Yeah,
they only scored like 6 points
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
They couldn't. I think they might have had one pass. That
Mac
was
threw three times.
Yes.
No. Yes.
All right, well, we'll ask Jelani Tavai coming up about that next, but first this.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Celtics fall to the Bulls 117-108. The Seas made 14 out of their 56 attempted threes. The Seas also coming out of this one with three technicals. We will hear what Joe Mazzulla had to say about the refs during They Said It. Jason Tatum had a double-double with 31 points and 10 rebounds in the loss. They have another shot with the Bulls in Chicago tomorrow at 8 p.m. The Bruins also falling in Edmonton. This one went to OT after the Bees came out strong in the first period. 3-2 was the final, with Jeremy Swayman making 23 saves in the loss. Thursday Night Football had the Chargers beating the Broncos 34-27. Justin Herbert threw for 284 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. It's a Patriots Friday. We're going to be joined by Jelani Tavai on the other side of the break to talk about the Pats' loss last weekend and what to expect against the Bills on Sunday. Before that, the Chiefs have the Texans on Saturday, and the final injury report indicates Patrick Mahomes is good to go. And get excited, college football fans, because the college football playoffs can be heard right here on WEEI. Indiana Notre Dame coverage starts tonight at 7:30 after Travis Thomas. And give the perfect gift this season. 99 Restaurant gift cards. They are the perfect gift for everyone on your list. For every $25 you purchase, receive a $5 bonus gift card for yourself. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here is Shime with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It's currently 32 degrees in the city of Boston. The high today is 37. You're going to see some snow flurries as you're driving to work this morning, but they should dissipate pretty quickly. And then you're going to see more snow later this evening.
Welcome back to the Greg Hill Show. Courtney in for Greg. It's Courtney, Wiggy, and Shime. Jackson's in the back crushing it. But it is a Patriots Friday, and we have Jelani Tavai joining us this morning. And this is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov. Let me see if I can work this screen. I can never work this screen. There we go. Jelani, good morning. Thanks for calling.
Of course. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. You guys coming off a bye week, face an Arizona team, and things don't go your way. How was it during the bye week, and what was your main focus going into that game against Arizona?
I felt that we were getting ready, and we were energized and prepared. Unfortunately, the outcome didn't show what how our preparation was. But you know what? I'm just happy we have another opportunity against the Bills this week to showcase what we're trying to put out. And so far, we've been having a good week of practice, and all our focus right now is on Buffalo. So we're going into hostile territory, and definitely don't want to go there lackadaisical, because if we do, that crowd is something else.
You guys did give up 164 rushing yards in that game against Arizona, though. What was it about the Cardinals that gave you guys such a difficult time, and how do you work on that as you get ready for a tough competition in Buffalo?
The biggest thing was just missed tackles and you know, that chunk run early in the game. You know, I don't live in the what ifs because, you know, I don't. So I'm not going to say if we took care of that, then, you know, it would have been different. But, yeah, it's a whole new week. You know, we got Buffalo, who's got a great quarterback in Josh. And, you know, they have Cook, who's been having a good few years. So we got to basically just do our jobs, tackle the guy who has the ball, and just make sure our communication's on point with each other.
Jelani, I feel like we've been talking about this all year long, whether it was you with you or whether it's been with Gerard Mayo and the missed tackles. What do you think the reasoning behind so many missed tackles?
Just getting to the ball. You know, a lot of times it's one-on-ones, and the best way to, you know, usually avoid missed tackles is gang tackling, you know. Having all 11 guys to the ball. So that's one of the big things.
I just want to ask something real quick. Is it more about, like, because when you think of gang tackling, right, is it more about guys getting off blocks so they can now rally around the block, the ball carrier, or is it more about making sure that your foot on the gas and you're hustling to the ball, not thinking that your one guy is gonna make the tackle?
I mean, it's a mixture of both. You know, you gotta. The biggest thing is you can't go one. Like, we always pride ourselves on not going one for one. And if you do have a wide open shot at a guy, you know, you should be able to, like, you know, take him down. And that includes myself. You know, I think I had two missed tackles that game, and you know, that ticked me off, and I was trying my best to make sure that I made up for it throughout the game. So, you know, it just comes down to us making sure that we get that guy down. You know, it's a tough league. I think James Conner just had a really good game that day too. He was running his heart out, so my hat goes out to him. But yeah, like I said, this whole new week, we've got to make sure that we stop the run, whether it's Cook, whether it's Ty Johnson, or whether it's Josh, you know, because they do run a lot of QB runs. So we just got to make sure that we get off our blocks, and all 11 guys just got to beat their ball.
Yeah, Jelani, I think the majority of the season, you guys have started games pretty well and pretty strong. And against the Bills, I mean, that's going to be really important to kind of handle Josh early in that game. Has the issue been a lack of adjustments, do you think, during the middle of the game? Or is it just simply that you guys have just been not able to capitalize on the little things, on the tackling and just the positioning and holding your lanes and such like that?
I would say it's the little things. I always think it's the little things, you know. But that just comes down to us making sure that we get off our blocks, like we said, and securing our tackles. Whether it's we got a gator roll, you gotta make sure that it makes our job way more easier when you see 11 guys to the ball. You know, that's. And, you know, those guys who are running the ball hate like when they see that, you know, when they see all guys just swarming and trying to tackle you with bad intentions, you know. So this week we've definitely been having a lot of swarm practices where we just, you know, if you're not running to the ball, you're out. So I'm glad to see that we're adjusting to that and trying to nip the problem in the butt, even if it's this late in the season.
Jelani, how difficult is it when you look around the locker room and you've got 3 weeks left of the season, you face the Bills twice, the Chargers once? For the younger guys, do you feel it like a responsibility as an older guy in the locker room to make sure that everybody still has their head in the game? Or do you think that everybody's on the same page when it comes to making sure you finish the season as strong as you can?
No, everybody's on the same page right now. I said this before, like, nobody likes to lose in our locker room, you know, and if you're okay with losing, like, you're in the wrong business of work, you know. And every day I see the guys in here frustrated because we're trying to win, and we know that what's killing us is these little things, whether it's on or off the field or just simple plays that we never mess up. Like, we'll have a minor thing that, you know, the team will capitalize on. So I think, like I said, we're all on the same page on what our goal is, which is to win. And I don't think anybody's checked out right now because everybody's showing up to work. I expect everybody to come into this building pissed off and ready to practice, and that's what I'm seeing. So, We're ready. We're definitely ready to make sure we go out to Buffalo and you know, show out.
Jelani, Josh Allen having an MVP type season. What do you guys need to do? What's the number one thing you guys got to do as a defense to give your team an opportunity to win when it comes to defending Josh Allen?
Biggest thing is getting him down. You know, if we're talking about his run game, we got to make sure that we get him down however we do, you know. And that's one of the biggest things. That's the toughest thing to do in this league right now, which is tackling quarterbacks. I guess it's just all the caution signs are up as soon as he starts running the ball. Because you don't know if he's going to slide, whether he's going to – I mean, you guys see the film. This guy would literally run all the way to the sideline, stop his feet at the sideline, and, you know – take that extra second to look down the field and throw the ball while we're trying to push him out of bounds or come and hit him. So you don't, you know, it's a hard thing to do because you don't know if he's going to try and jump out of bounds or whatever. And then second is making sure we keep him in the pocket. You know, he's a dangerous guy, but he's more dangerous when he's outside the pocket and he's playing, you know, street football. So that's one of the biggest things that we have to do.
Jelani, this team has three really athletic, good running backs and guys that can catch out of the backfield. How difficult will it be for you guys to really kind of match up with them in man coverage and really kind of making sure that you hold them in check?
I think we're going to have a good matchup. They got some really quick guys, but we got some really really fast guys too to match up against them. So we got a good game plan set for that, and come Sunday, I think we're gonna be ready.
Jelani, I'm all about fixing leagues. I'm working on fixing college football. We're getting a 2014 playoffs system in there. I think I can fix the NFL when it comes to the quarterback situation. How would you feel about this rule? Quarterback has a 5-yard halo. If he hasn't slid in within 5 yards of the defender, he becomes fair game. So now that kind of takes the guessing out of it.
Man, I miss the old rules, to be honest. I don't even the quarterbacks should know better. They're getting paid all this money to be a quarterback. So don't try and, you know, take advantage of the game. I'm not trying to take a fine or suspension off of their like them being dumb, you know. So I'm down for that too. But those old rules, when I grew up seeing the Terrell Suggs or the Junior Seau smack the crap out of quarterbacks, I'm down for that.
Well, Jelani, it's probably the last time that a few of us will talk to you this year. So on behalf of everybody, thanks so much for taking the time. You've always been so kind with us when calling, winning or losing. You've always given us good answers, fair answers, and just been a class act. And I know it's your first Christmas with a little one as a dad. So how excited are you for that?
No, I'm really excited. I definitely still have some things to get my daughter, but I'm excited. It's gonna be a special feeling.
As a father of three, Jelani, don't spend a ton of money when they're this little because they don't remember anything.
Just tons of diapers and probably wipers.
That is it. Get them one gift because generally they end up playing with the one gift the whole time. Usually you put a ball in front of them and they're happy.
We were talking about Joe Burrow and Brock Purdy earlier and the gifts that they got some of their guys. Any big gifts in the Patriots locker room this year?
They did their thing yesterday, so we're going to find out today who had the best gift.
All right. All right. Well, thank you, Jelani Tavai. That's a Patriots Friday. We will talk to you the next year.
Yep. Sounds great. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
I'm telling you, they should, and I'm an offensive guy, but they should incorporate the slide halo.
Well, you've been saying that now for weeks.
Yeah, because these quarterbacks, they wait till the last minute. So if you have a 5-yard halo, meaning like, okay, a defender knows they have enough time to know like, okay, this guy is already, he's already started his slide and I don't even have to worry about it. But once you get inside of that 5-yard halo, you are fair game. You are fair game.
And do you think that will make it safer?
What it will do is it'll make it safer because now quarterbacks are going to have to say, I'm giving myself up early. Or quarterbacks are going to say, you know what? I'm a runner and I'm looking to pick up extra yards. And so try to tackle me.
I just think that when it'll take a long time to implement something like that before it's actually safe. Like, because you talk about it all the time that in the game, everything's happening so fast. So for a quarterback to now say, okay, I have a 5-yard halo. That to me, I think you're going to find guys getting themselves in a lot of trouble.
They do it. They did it with the punt return rule. You have to give the returner like I think it's like a 2-yard halo or something like that, and let him catch the ball, and then you could tee off on him.
Mm-hmm.
So as you going down to tackle a guy, you have to wait. You got to hesitate for a second, but as soon as he catches that ball, you got to make sure you're, you know, 2 yards away, and then you can go on and make the play. Same in football, and Jelani's right. These quarterbacks take advantage of it, mm-hmm. especially nowadays. There's so many more good athletes at quarterback.
Well, Patrick Mahomes is probably
he takes advantage of it more than anyone.
But think of when I played, there were still some runners. But there weren't as many runners. Now everybody, so when a guy like Drew Bledsoe got outside the pocket, he would run and then he slide and he's giving himself up early. Whether it was a guy like Marino, Joe Montana, Vinny Testaverde, like the list goes on and on. Now there's so many athletic, even like Brock Purdy, right? He's not known as being a runner, but he's a good enough athlete that when he gets outside the pocket, he can pick up some yards using his legs. So if you let the quarterback know, hey, if you don't give yourself up early, you become fair game, and it's safer for the defenders where they can actually play football.
Well, I think this is a good segue because we're going to hear from, I believe, AVP during They Said It this morning, and why maybe we're not seeing Drake May, the play calling that maybe we want to see out of him because it's to protect him. So can we get to that?
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, where do you want to start this morning, Chime?
Well, Courtney, I think we start exactly where you were just talking about. Alex Van Pelt spoke to the media yesterday. He talked about the calling, or not lack thereof, I should say, of Drake May quarterback sneaks. He was asked if they would even call it. Here was his response. There was a bit of a follow-up, too, that I wanted to include in this about keeping May healthy. So here was Alex Van Pelt's full, basically, discussion on Drake May, the quarterback sneak, and keeping him healthy.
Yeah, no, I think so. I do think so. I think we can sneak with Drake. I think he's done it in the past. I'm not fearful of that as much. Really just focusing on keeping him out of harm's way and getting him through these last 3 games healthy. And that's really where it comes to. It's about developing, our quarterback I think we all feel very confident in his abilities. At the same time, I'd hate to lose him and not let him finish out the season by using him in a way where if we didn't need to, then we didn't have to. So that's kind of my thought on that.
So you mentioned keeping Drake healthy for these last three games and out of harm's way. And with the design quarterback runs and things like that, if let's say the record was a little bit different, would you say that would invite calling those a little bit more?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no question. If it's third and two and we're trying to get to a playoff spot, then we're going to use every means necessary to get those plays and put our guys in the best position. But, I've been around the quarterback run game in Cleveland, and we lost our quarterback for the year. And so I know what it entails. I know what comes with that. There is a big risk that's involved. And, again, if it's a playoff situation or it's a got-to-have-it-to-win-the-game possibly, but when that comes up, we'll make that determination.
Mm. Now, that's interesting because I believe it was Curtis asking Jerod Mayo about that on Monday, mm-hmm. and he wouldn't say that the reason that they hold Drake May back in that situation is because they're worried about injury.
But we kind of knew that all year long, because wasn't that like...
I know we knew it.
Did Mayo even mention the concussion protocol when he was with us?
Yes, yeah. but wasn't he kind of saying, like, I don't want to go there? Like, I just think it's an interesting week to have vastly different answers to the same question from two guys that mm-hmm. we have been saying maybe there's something up there.
Unless this is their moment to walk it back, where Jerod kind of said, well, yeah, we don't really want to run him. You know, at first it was the concussion protocol. Now it's like, we just haven't. It is what it is. And then AVP's telling you, no, it's like they're walking it back again, where it's like, no, we didn't do it because of concussion protocol. We're still not doing it because we don't want to put him back in concussion protocol.
I think it's dumb what he said. Because if that's the approach that you're going to take, and that was part of the reasoning on why you didn't want to start him week one, is because you were afraid that he might get hurt. And then he's like, well, we don't, if we're a playoff team or we're in a better position, maybe we have some design runs. Well, then that means what about those games that you could have won and maybe put you and maybe made you a playoff contender if you did have some design runs? Mm-hmm. If you, we just heard Jelani Tavai talking about how Josh Allen, they utilize him with design runs. They don't say, well, we don't want to run Josh Allen because we're worried he's going to get hurt. Guess what? If this is a skill set that player has, getting hurt is part of the game.
Right.
You just hope the quarterback, after he gets out of the pocket on the design run, protects himself.
You don't read into it at all that Drake had a concussion situation earlier in the season, and maybe that's why they are protecting him a bit more.
No, because guess what? There's times where we've seen Drake May get outside the pocket after his concussion. Didn't he run for like 45 yards or 50 yards on one play and didn't elect to go out of bounds? So I don't really look at it like that. If the kids, when the play breaks down and the kid extends it with his legs and says, you know what, I'm going to be a runner, and he's still being aggressive and he's not like giving himself up early, he's not thinking about the concussion that he had early in the season. I just think that you utilize your players and you don't worry about injuries.
And I also think, Wiggy, too, to that point, like, a lot of people don't want to admit that the majority of these injuries happen to quarterbacks in the pocket. And a lot of the injuries, I mean, happen to pocket passers as often as they happen to runners. I mean, you look at Cam Newton, who Wiggy will admit loved Cam Newton, mm-hmm. one of the most physical runners we've seen at the quarterback position in football in a very long time. In 8 years, missed 5 games.
Right.
Like, he never missed football games, and he was taking a beating. Josh Allen takes a beating, doesn't miss football
Lamar
games.
Lamar Jackson.
It's like, it's about, Lamar's injuries came both times in the pocket. Like, it's about how, like, what kind of injuries you're taking and how you're taking hits and how you're getting out of bounds and getting down early, giving yourself up. So it's on the quarterback, if he has those abilities, to utilize them, but to be smart with them.
Yeah, and I don't like that, because you're saying that we didn't want to do that because we didn't want to get hurt, but you also didn't give your team the best chance to win because you weren't using a skill that one of your best players is really good at.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not like we're saying run Drake May and he's Mac Jones. He is a legit dynamic runner, in the sense of he can make a lot of plays with his legs off a design run, very similar to what we see with Josh Allen. And the fact that you're not utilizing that is just not helping your team.
All right, Chime, what else do we have?
Let's go back to the Boston Celtics. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. Joe Mazzulla got in a bit of a confrontation with the referees, more or less. Here was his answer to why they got the technical early in the game and what he wanted to say to the refs after the game that he had to be assisted off the court.
I just can't be on the court, so, you know, the ref had to do his job. I was on the court, and, you know, that's it.
And what were you guys frustrated with on the call? Like, what happened on that play that you guys were frustrated with?
I was on the court, so I just can't be on the court.
Just to be clear, you got the technical not for anything you said, but because you stepped onto the court there?
Yeah, I just stepped on the court.
And after the game, looked like a couple of assistants and security guard needed to kind of hold you back. What message were you trying to deliver there?
I just hadn't seen them in a while, so just a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. I wasn't sure I was going to see them before the holiday, and I just can't let a moment go by to where you wish someone, you know, just the best, you know, to them and theirs and their families.
I love him. I love him.
He's the best.
Curtis would have hated that. I love it. Yeah. Like, he was so mad, and we played it earlier. I don't know if Mitch can get it back up for those watching on Twitch and YouTube, but he was... It was a perfect, like, let me take my earrings out. Hold me back. Right. Hold me back. And he's a jujitsu guy.
Oh, take them earrings off and them high heels. You know it's about to be on and popping.
Yeah, and he could have gotten out of that if he wanted, but credit to those assistant coaches and the security that come out. I mean.
So that's, they gave him the tech just for stepping on the court. That's like.
That's what he says.
Yeah. I mean, probably, but even like Eddie House says. You know,
I don't think he said anything, though, that would have deserved a tech. Like. Right before that,
Jaylen Brown probably said something that deserved that technical foul, but he was jawing at the ref hard.
Eddie talked about it earlier. We played the audio where he's like, just sometimes the ref gets involved. And I believe.
Refs need to go away. Bring in the robot refs.
I'm not ready for that yet. Do we have more for They Said It?
Yeah, just one last quick one here for you, Courtney. Kyler Murray is traveling to Carolina to play the Panthers this week. The Cardinals are. Kyler was informed that it's going to be about 35 degrees in Carolina. Kyler Murray not used to playing in the cold. Here is how that went in his press conference yesterday.
No, I mean, I've played in cold weather before. It's not, I don't know how cold it's supposed to be.
35, 40.
Yeah.
Not excited to play in the cold.
No,
either.
Not excited to play in the cold at all.
We
would you rather play in a million degrees though, or in really cold?
That question has circled the NFL and NFL locker rooms for, you know, since the beginning of time.
It feels like cold is way easier than playing in Miami.
I would rather play in cold weather all day long.
So you'd rather play in like 5 below in Green Bay than in 100-degree weather in Miami.
The joints get so
extreme cold weather versus extreme heat. Give me the extreme cold weather all day long.
Really?
You know why? Because in cold weather, you know what you could do?
Warm yourself up.
You can layer up.
Yeah.
You can put on your thermals. You can put
toss
on
those heating pads in
the
there.
Scuba suits, all the kind of, you know, cold weather gear that they got. When it is 100 degrees in Miami, you can't play naked.
Yeah.
You can't. You could take it. I've played in Miami and I've had no shirt underneath my shoulder pads, you know, basically just the pants. You know, the socks and you're pouring water on yourself and you're waterlogged and your shoes are waterlogged and you feel like you can't breathe and it continues to get hot. There's nothing to cool you off. I'm telling you, give me the extreme cold any day. And I played in extreme cold weather any day of the week. You can bundle up when you have that extreme heat. It's like nothing, you know, you feel like you can't breathe.
I just feel like the ground would be like a brick in the cold.
No,
and
but
your joints are hurting, like you're just.
But you're moving around.
Yeah.
See, you got to understand.
Yeah, the adrenaline helps with the cold.
Right.
Whereas when you're hot, you're just like, you can't breathe.
You're
like
you're
miserable.
You're thinking, all right, I'm just sitting watching a game cold versus hot.
Yeah, I guess.
But you're
right.
Playing. The field isn't as bad because, you know, a lot of these fields, they got the, you know, I get what you're saying, but as you get warmed up in the field, kind of Green Bay, they have a heating system under there, so, you know, it will unthaw a little bit. But I get what you're saying, that some of them, it feels like you're landing on concrete.
Yeah, let me tell you, cheerleading, hot over cold every day. every day.
Well, yeah, because most of the time you're just kind of standing around and waving.
No,
so,
that's
like,
not
you're
true,
just freezing.
Shime, actually. You're not just standing around waving a pom-pom. But
well, during
tumbling,
the actual game you are.
Tumbling on a brick, mm-hmm. you know, cold
oh, that does
surface
sound miserable.
Sucks.
Right. Yeah, no, so give me extreme cold.
Are you able to tumble on sand?
Yeah, I mean, in my heyday, yeah. Nice. Today, no.
Not so much.
So no. You don't have the ability no more to like do like the backflip, stand and back.
No, I can still do like the splits and stuff, but mm-hmm. I can't do backflip.
Like even if you ran a little bit and got a little bit of a running start?
No, I would
could
fall
you do
flat
it?
On my face.
Could you do it when you were in the prime of your cheerleading? Like, you know how they do the lines and the cheerleaders will like basically run and just flip all
yeah.
the way down?
Back handsprings, yeah. But we used to, BC liked to do on the center of a basketball court, we'd all be in a line and we'd do just a standing tuck one after the other, and you would do it during the breaks until somebody fell.
Oh, wow.
And so you obviously didn't want to be the one to fall, but you're hoping kind of what
so
are your
you,
teammates.
So you could used to do like that stand and flip.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's
the
impressive.
Standing flips never cease to amaze me. Like the standing yeah. backflips, impressive as hell.
Did you yeah. see the defensive lineman from Jacksonville do it?
Yeah. I feel like guys learn how to flip so easy. I don't know what it is. You can know. Just come more up. But.
I think this is a new thing because when I played, no one was doing backflips. Now it's like every, you know, 7-on-7 game that you watch these kids, you're 14 and under, you 13 and on, these kids are like springboarding, doing flips yeah. like crazy. I'm like, man, where'd they get that from? I never seen that when I was playing.
It's crazy. All right, we got to take a quick break. After the break, we're going to get to the news, right, Shime? All right, we'll get to the news after this.
It's time for...
You ever go into a new home where you have a shower where the water doesn't come out of the shower head? They put a restrictor on. I took all the restrictors off.
The news.
I've had the experience. I take a shower. I want that beautiful head of hair to be nice and wet. Lather.
With your host, Courtney Cox.
It's definitely his Hancock, so.
Excuse me?
Well, that's what they call a signature.
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, with 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com.
I want it to be lathered beautifully.
On WEEI.
All right, before we get to the news this morning, I think Mitch has a video to share with those on Twitch and YouTube. Shime got it from, I believe, Mike Golic Jr. is tweeting it out in South Bend right now. Notre Dame fans and Indiana fans already lined up to start their tailgate. I would love to know, and you're our weather guy right now, Shime, it's snowing. What is the degree in South Bend, Indiana? Because I went to a BC game there last year, and it was the coldest maybe I've ever been in my entire life. If it's 30 degrees there, it feels like it's below zero.
Yeah, so it is currently 32 degrees in South Bend, snowing this morning. Looks like the snow is going to go away around 10 o'clock this morning, though, South Bend time, and be away for the game tonight. But at kickoff, you're looking at, oh, man, like 27 degrees.
Oh,
so it is
bad.
Going to be... It's going to be chilly.
But yeah, what time is kickoff? 8?
8 o'clock. Yep.
8 o'clock, and mm-hmm. it's what time is it in South Bend? 7:52 here, what, 6?
6:52 their time, yeah.
What are you going to do all day in the freezing cold?
You're going to tailgate. You're going to drink. You're going to stay
you,
warm.
I understand.
You're going to cook food.
But, right. like, we had a tent at ours. No sides on the right. tent, but it was so cold.
Yeah, but you got to understand the difference between BC tailgate and
hey, watch your mouth.
Notre Dame playoff tailgate. And let's be honest, it's two different worlds, Courtney. You know what I mean? Like your BC tailgate is like similar to driving around. I get it. I get there. Nice cars, but like a Toyota Camry. Where Notre Dame playoff tailgate is, you know, you're talking about Mercedes-Benz or something like that.
I don't know.
The level of tailgating is not the same. You've been in around college football.
No, I know, and I had fun at Notre Dame tailgating, but it wasn't
worth it. But it's playoff football.
I get it. It
right.
just seems miserable. And everybody tries to go into their big bookstore. Their bookstore's awesome. Mm-hmm. I'll give Notre Dame credit there. It's like 2 floors. It's sick. But everybody piles in there to try to get warm. Right.
But they're all sauced up. Like Chime said, there's going to be grills, barbecue. I mean, this is playoff football at a major, major school. You know,
it's kind of cool that they're playing Indiana, both teams
right.
in Indiana.
Yeah.
This is going to be an awesome,
yeah,
awesome
you,
I'm sure a lot of kids are home for break already, but I like Shahay, I believe, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and Twitch. Get a good spot, walk home, or sleep in the car till tonight.
Like,
that's what I would do.
Where's the best
I mean, you covered college football.
Yeah.
So, like, BC, you know, like, that's not real tailgate. Where's the, like...
The best ACC? Because like, I covered ACC.
Yeah, wherever
you want. So, I've never been to an SEC tailgate. That's on my bucket list. But Clemson has the sickest tailgate.
Right.
And it's like, you know, all the frats have live music outside.
Right.
And
so, that's the difference. Your tailgate...
But the weather's great there.
But even if it was bad weather, you got to understand, you're baby tailgating over at BC. We love BC, but you're baby tailgating.
Yeah, you're right. All right, we're going to start with Luigi Mangione, who's arrived in New York to face arraignment. He arrived yesterday by plane. He made his first appearance in federal court. He faces four federal charges in connection with the assassination of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. Mangione formally waived extradition yesterday morning. He was flown from Pennsylvania to New York. I saw a video. If you're watching on Twitch, you can see the video. He has like a million armed guards around him. And I saw a TikTok of a girl who said, I was walking to work. She lives in New York, and she saw this take place. She's like, it took everything in me not to yell, I love you, Luigi. Like, people are sick. Sick. And it's two different conversations, I think, of how bad healthcare is in this country and a guy killing another guy in cold blood.
Right.
Like, those two, in my mind, do not equate. And I don't know if I'm the crazy one, but it doesn't make sense to me to take the life of somebody else because you're upset with the system.
Yeah, that one really don't make sense. But guess what? He about to do a long, long, long time. So
he's
going to change real quick.
Yep. We can hear from New York Mayor Eric Adams on CNN.
We don't use a gun. And anyone that celebrates that, it is vile and it is sending the wrong message. And you're celebrating using violence to solve an issue.
Preach. All right, we've got a lot in the news this morning, so I want to take a break now so we can get to the rest of it. We will talk to you in just a few minutes.